My name is Deborah Kosh. I'm 69 years old. Today is 25th of February 2022, and I'm speaking with Joanne Blackwell, who is my friend and is one of the Bob Hope Village members of the Women's Veterans Group here. We are recording this interview in Shalimar, Florida at the Bob Hope Village. So Joanne, when did you enlist in the Air Force?
In August of 1951.
Wow, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
A long time ago.
Wow, it's like
70 some years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Quite a difference.
What do you remember about the day you enlisted? Not went to basic training, but the day you enlisted.
Not much at all, but I remember the physical.
You remember the physical. I remember the physical, too. I have to tell you, you know.
We probably all do remember.
I think we all remember. I mean, you were how old?
21. I just turned... No, 18. I'm sorry. I had just turned 18. Never been to a doctor. Never had a physical. And no one told me.
I hear you. Yeah. I was 18 when I had my physical, too. That first physical. Yeah, and no one told me either. How did you tell your family and friends that you were joining the military?
See, I don't remember that, but my parents didn't say yes or no. You know, we didn't talk much in my family, but I felt, especially from my old boyfriend, that he didn't want me to go, but that was no place for women to be.
Right.
And at that time, I think they thought of women in service as camp followers.
Yeah.
That we were just there to serve the men. They found out differently. I met a lot of good girls in the military, and that's not why they were there.
It's so strange, though, you know, because we've just finished World War II, and a lot of women were in the military during World War II.
Yeah.
Even though then it was still pretty tough also, but... Yeah, even back in, you know, I joined the Air Force in 1972, and even then there was that, oh, you're just going in because, like you call it, a camp follower, or you're just going in to get married, find a husband, right? Yeah, and how could it be possible that you would be going in to have a career, right?
Right, women just were teachers or nurses or secretaries, that was it.
If you enlisted, which you did, you were enlisted, right?
Right. Yeah.
What were some of the reasons you joined the military?
To get an education, see the country, see something besides Ohio, and get away from home, get away from that sameness and year after year never changing, always the same, and just a change.
Where were you living?
Salem, Ohio.
So is that a big or small community?
Very small town.
Oh, I think I know where Salem, Ohio is. It's near Cincinnati, right? That the big city area?
It's closer to Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Okay, all right.
Cincinnati is down south.
Okay, all right. So, and why'd you choose the Air Force?
I don't know. I don't remember how I knew, but they had a pretty uniform.
They did have a good-looking uniform. You're
sure,
right.
But I didn't get it when I went in.
Why not?
It was at a time when they had so many women joining, they didn't have uniforms. I had to wear the old whack, the dark wool skirt and the khaki long sleeve shirt with the tie. I had to learn how to tie a tie.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't until a year or so later that I finally got a blue uniform.
Did you have to buy that blue uniform?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember paying for anything.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We didn't get much money at that time.
No. How much were they paying
you? I don't know.
Not a lot. Though.
Not very much.
Was it more than...
But I didn't need it.
Really. Was it more than what you would have been earning if you had stayed home?
No.
Okay.
Even in the five and dime, I probably would have made more money.
Okay. Well, you were giving up some economic power. Uh, imagine your military life would be before you joined?
I didn't think of it. I really didn't know what to expect and plan for anything.
Did you know any women in the military at that moment in time?
My aunt, who's the same age as I am, she went in like, she wouldn't wait on me. She was turned 18 in January, so she went, she graduated in June. So she went in June, and I didn't see her. Oh. The only time I saw her is when we both got home 1 year for Christmas, and she had a blue uniform.
And you still and had the brown one.
She wore it, and I didn't wear anything except my civilian clothes.
Oh, yeah, because yeah, I told this one colonel one time. He says I joined the Air Force because blue matches my eyes.
That's as good as anything.
As good as any reason, right? Yeah. What was basic training like? Did you train with the men?
Yes. When we got there, I don't know how many, whether there's three of my friends, anyhow, we got there at Lackland. We had to go up on the hill because they didn't have room at Kelly. You know, it was that influx of all those recruits. So we had to go up in the hill with the where the boys were. And we stayed in a open bay barracks and marched, and the men laughed at us marching, and we weren't very good marching, but...
So you weren't actually in training where they were training at the same, in the same classrooms and the same platoons as you, or whatever groups as you, right? You just, that you were just up there in the same location they were training.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a male or female TI?
Female.
Okay, I did too.
All CO and all, it was a separate squadron. Okay. All female.
Okay. Why was there... Were they recruiting women?
At that time, they had a big push to recruit women.
Do you know why?
I don't know why.
Because that's, you know, when I joined the Air Force in 72, they were working on recruiting women. In 71, the women were allowed to be like 2% of the force, and their goal was to get the women in the military up to like 15 or 16%, something like that. So they were there was a big push for me too, so... Mm-hmm. Can you describe a funny moment at boot camp?
Oh, yeah, marching. I can't tell my left from my right, and I put a stone in my left hand. That didn't help. And I was short. I was always the end of the line. One time she said, I even forgot the command, to go backwards, and I was out and leading, you know, out front, and I'm going marching down the street, and I hear all this laugh, and I turn around, and there's a squad all behind me laughing like crazy. Doesn't pay to be short. But at parades, they had to, you know, make it straight.
Right.
So I was in that last row, and I never had to march to in parade. They took us to watch, but I never had to march.
Weren't you happy?
I was glad.
Me too.
Especially when you can't tell your left from your right.
That is tough, isn't it?
I love the songs they sang. Did they sing when you were marching?
We did sing a lot, sing song. You know, like Rainbow, Rainbow, Don't Be Blue.
Air Force Blue is a color for you.
Yeah. Aww. Yep. And that was good, wasn't it? When you marched down those roads.
Singing,
it made the marching easier.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I could keep in step.
Well, there you go, too, because you're in step and you're on the cadence, and it gave you the cadence, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are some of the things you remember about adapting to your military life?
Being told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
That's a lot of people have to do that, don't they, when they enter the military?
That's why I think they have trouble with the young people now, because they don't like being told what to do.
And when to do it.
Yeah.
But, they controlled your life there in basic training, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And even afterwards, after you moved on.
In school, yes. Well, you always had a commander.
Right. Somebody telling you what to do.
Yeah.
When to do it. But that could be comforting too, can't it?
Well, it could be, yes.
You know, especially when you're unsure what's going on.
Right. But not when you're independent like we are. Don't like to be told what to do. Okay. Gets worse when you get older, ooh, too.
Well, how did you stay in touch with your family or and your friends back home?
We just wrote letters.
Did you get mail at basic training?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I did. Yes, I did, because my aunt sent me a box of candy. And and I never expected her, but she said she does that for all of them, so that was nice.
That was nice.
Yeah. Then you share with the other lady.
Well, good. I was wondering if you shared.
Oh, yeah. You have to almost. Open bay, you get a package, everybody. What you get?
Yeah. So did they have mail call?
I don't remember mail call. I think we had boxes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know we had mail call. I can remember that. But you might have had mail call too, but that's a long time, you know, yeah. So. Was there anything you were especially missing about civilian life while you were in the military?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really, because I made do, and there was always something to do. Some place to go or something to do.
Actually, there was more to do, right?
Really? Really?
Because that's why you left home, for something different, didn't you?
Right.
Did any of your military friends play pranks on you or each other?
No, okay. We didn't.
You're pretty serious, huh?
Pretty serious, yeah.
Nothing like MASH, right?
No.
Now, I think I know the answer to this question before I even ask it, but you may surprise me. Did you ever get caught breaking any rules?
Yep.
Oh, no, you surprised me.
Yep. When I was in training at Cheyenne for teletype, this fellow I knew from Denver came up to visit me, and he brought a couple guys with him. So the three of us women, girls, just signed out and left. I don't think we even signed out. I think we didn't get a pass. And we got off out of the bus all right. But coming back in, we got caught. And I think I lost a stripe because of it.
Wow.
Because usually when you graduate from tech school and certain grades, you get a stripe. I didn't get mine.
Did you know that what could happen?
I really didn't, because we had to go in and report to her. And when I left, I was okay, because she didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, she just told us and what we did and what we shouldn't have done, got off base without our pass and all of that. But she never said what she's going to punish us with. So she didn't.
She took a stripe.
Didn't get a stripe.
Did you even have a stripe? Oh, you didn't even get your stripe.
No.
Oh, you had to wait. Did you eventually get a stripe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, I got up to airman first class.
Which would have been two stripes, right, at that time? When did you leave the military?
1953.
Why?
I was pregnant. Yeah. We were in Hawaii. I married in Hawaii, and he was getting stationed by, his 3 years were up, and I wanted to come back with him, and they wouldn't let me. So luckily, I was pregnant at the time, so I was able to get out and come back with him.
So they didn't have things like we have now, where women can stay in the military.
I wish they had.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have stayed in, and I admire these girls who stay in. And I can't believe chiefs and you know, all the stripes. I can't believe women retiring. You know, that just boggles my mind that you could retire from the service.
Yeah, you know, 1972 was a big year for women in the military. Things changed so much in those three, doing away with the Women's Air Force and a lot of big changes, making it good. The whole changes. All of the 70s were a big change for the women, giving us more opportunities.
Equal rights.
Yeah,
yes.
Because did you have many choices about what you could be when you went into the Air Force?
No, they give you those tests. You know, I wanted in the medical field really bad, And but they give you those tests. But I think wherever they need you, that's where you go.
Yeah.
So evidently they need teletype operators, and that's where we went.
Yeah, teletype operators, they were the communication hub of the world at that time. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was high tech at that time. All I did was push buttons. I take that back. I did type on a teletype machine. I was not very good at it.
Oh, so you didn't know how to type before you started?
Oh, yes. That's why I got a short. Oh. I only had to go to school like six. It was cut short because I knew how to type.
Did you learn that in high school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You told me you got your training up at Cheyenne, Wyoming. Did you stay there, or did you get to go someplace else from there?
Oh,
after you got your training.
After I finished school there, they sent me to Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. This Yankee went south, and it was in the 50s, and it's still segregation. Mm-hmm. And I saw things. I says, what does colored mean? You know.
Yeah.
And I like sitting in the back of the bus. No one tells you not to until you do it, and then you're told you can't sit back there. Mm. Swimming, I like to swim, and in the afternoons, the pools were mostly empty. And I asked my friend, who was black, to go. She says, Joanne, I can't. I says, why? We're not allowed to be in the same pool together. I thought, you can contaminate the water? Why? I couldn't understand it because I hadn't grown up with it. Mm-hmm.
And when did you go to Hawaii?
We were at Maxwell, and they asked for volunteers to go to Japan. I was the first one in line, and I wanted to see the country. So we got to Camp Stillman, saw that red line across our names, and they changed us. We had to go to Hawaii.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
That's a beautiful place. And you can imagine what it was like in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Not so much commercial. And
right.
It was a good assignment.
So did you live on base?
No.
Oh, were you married by then?
Oh yes, I lived on base another open bay barracks.
So you were at Hickam, I assume?
Hickam, yes.
Yeah. You know, you and I have a lot in common, because I was at Hickam in
70.
I was at Hickam from 87 to 90. I lived on Hickam then, so.
Were you married then?
I was married then, yeah.
And there was base housing?
And I lived in base housing, yeah. So.
I don't even, if you're not married, you don't pay attention to.
Right, of course not. So is that where you met your husband?
Yes, oh yes, he was my boss. Chewed me out for, he couldn't read my writing. I fixed him, married him. Then he bought me a typewriter.
So how do you think your time in the military affected you?
I think it made me grow, I think, in adapting to things, being able to handle different situations and knowing different people and accepting different, it just made you smarter and wiser and more mature, I think.
You think about it, you were in the Midwest, or in the, you know, starting in Ohio and went to Wyoming.
Yeah.
And then down to Alabama, and then over to Hawaii. You know, you got to travel you were there, in the Air Force for, 2 years, two and a half
years? 3 years and 2 months.
3 years and two. You got to travel a lot.
Yes, yes.
That is exciting.
Even if I didn't get to Japan.
Well, yes, there you go. Well, Japan would have been kind of rough, I think, at that time, right? With the reconstruction going on in Japan?
I don't know.
I don't know either. What did you learn about yourself?
That I was independent, that I could do more than I thought I could.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
It surely is.
Do you think you
passed? Except I can't play ball with the Hawaiians. Oh, they were so good. I was on the, baseball team. I played softball on base teams, and in Alabama and then Hawaii. And we played in a Hawaiian team, and they invited me to join their, you know, their, and I went to practice. They took barefooted, they ran me down. I don't need this. I'm not going to play with these. They were so good.
What position did you play?
Shortstop, second base.
That's an important position.
Well, I don't know about that, but they called me Hefty Hitting Robotic. That was my name. But it was fun. When I was in Alabama, we flew our, what is, not RCO, but the vice, I don't know, but she was a player. So we flew to Paris Island, and we were sitting in the day room. We were going to play on that Saturday afternoon, and those lady Marines started through the door, and I kept looking up at those giants, and I thought, we're toast. We got smeared. Oh, they had it rough, the lady Marines.
Yeah.
They had it rough.
The Marines have a tough job, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I admire the Marines. I admire their dedication to service.
Yes.
A lot of times they're the first people in. Yes, I truly admire those people, that group. So what do you want your children to know about your military service?
Whatever they want to. Steve is, because he was military, but they never ask, the kids don't ask much, and mm-hmm. I don't think they even know.
Well, maybe you need to tell them. This interview could use to help get them informed, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Well, thank you, Joanne.
Oh, thank you.
This was so interesting. I'm so glad you volunteered to do this with me. You have a great day.
You too.
And I'm done. Yes.